On your Classic It's Breakfast with Jordan Curtis, and it doesn't take much for things to change. And if you look back 30 years ago, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, spending habits have changed, what we can buy has changed, and you know what we choose to spend money on has changed as well. I'm joined by Julia Newbold from Money Magazine, Managing Editor there, to talk about, I guess, how millennials are spending their money and comparing it and looking back to generations beforehand. Julia, how's it going?
Very well, thank you. And yourself?
Yeah, not too bad. And I obviously, nowadays, we're, of course, enjoying the internet and everything that comes along with it, whether it be streaming or just online shopping. I imagine when we're looking at generational spending, that's got to play a big part.
It does play a big part. But there's also, you know, the internet plays a big part in investing today and savings as well. And things that would have been harder to put into place maybe 20 years ago, you can now easily buy shares online for small amounts. You don't have to go to a broker. You just have to have a bank account, really, that links up with a broking account. And that's pretty much all the major banks.
Yeah, I guess like you look at movies from even the 90s and someone who is, you know, playing the stock market, there's a bunch of angry men screaming on Wall Street in a crowded room, but it's all pretty much done on your smartphone now.
That's right. But, you know, that picture of those, you know, screaming men in the stock market, you know, all calling out for the prices and whatever, that was actually the excitement that got me into the industry in the first place. That's the sort of area that I wanted to work in.
All right. You know, the internet ruined that for you.
The internet ruined it for me. But even before that, you know, it started to become automated and online, and it wasn't the same as, you know, having people actually screaming out anymore, having the chalkies manually change the board to, you know, to the different prices.
Well, and I guess that means money moves a lot more rapidly in 2021 as well.
It does, and there's more transparency. Like previously, you had to call your broker and the broker would, you know, be able to tell you what was happening, but it was hard to do it in real live terms. But now you can quickly see what prices are, and even if you have a 20-minute delay, it's only a 20-minute delay.
And I guess looking at individuals then, away from the stock market, just how people are choosing to spend their money, what are some of the main differences between, I guess, adults nowadays and adults back 30, 40 years ago?
Well, I guess, I mean, the times have changed, and the times that people are actually having families and so on, people are tending to save a bit more before they start a family. So there's, you know, what to do with that money that they're building up. You know, obviously it's very, you know, broad brush strokes there, but that seems to be, you know, women are not giving birth till they're in their 30s, whereas, you know, if you go back to baby boomers, you know, they were having babies in their early 20s. So there wasn't a lot of time to work and save at that point. The property market's also an area where people are really panicked now about will they ever get a foothold into the property market. So that's gone from just being something to do to being something that people are really panicked about at the moment, and especially because the property market is so hot right now.
And I guess with property as well, like the previous generation managed to get their hands on a property for themselves, maybe multiple properties. But what does that leave for the next generation who, you know, obviously existing in the same time period, just being beaten to the finish line as far as owning a house goes?
Yeah, it's a really difficult one, because when you go back, the demographics are quite different in that, you know, if you're looking at the baby boomers, they might have even only had a one-person income, whereas now you tend to have two people incomes in a family buying a home, but the prices are still very high, you know, comparatively the amount that you have to save to have a deposit. So things are a little bit different there. You know, credit cards now are not really popular with millennials. Millennials try and do things in a different way, and that might be using Afterpay services. It's just quite a different idea. I guess the other thing is that when you look at the advice industry, the financial advice industry, typically the older generations went to see an advisor when they either had a bit of money put aside or they were getting close to retirement. I think nowadays some of the younger millennials will be used to paying for subscription services to, you know, Netflix and whatever else they're doing, and they're getting financial advice on that sort of system. And they're using it for, you know, when they have to make the big decisions. So if you're going to buy a house or you're going to get married or you're thinking of having kids, these are all things that an advisor can sort of help you plan out.
Right. And I guess another thing that probably millennials have over generations beforehand, maybe not Gen X, but definitely baby boomers, would be that they've had super their whole working lives.
Yeah, that's right. And that makes a real difference in the way that you even think about super. You know, for the older generations, if you didn't have it through your whole working life, it became something that you kind of thought was a bonus to what you had before, whereas now it's kind of just there, and it takes people a bit longer, I think, to become engaged with it because it's just looked at by some people as a bit of a tax that's over there and they're not going to use it for a while. But, you know, one of the other things that this generation, the millennial generation, has is that there's so much more information out there. There's so much more financial data that you can check what prices are and you can check what industries are doing well. And there's so much commentary around the stock market and managed funds and all that. It's easier to get started in that way.
It was all, I guess, any predictions then what money habits are going to be like for generations beyond? Like, we've got Gen Z already out in the world, some of them working adults at this point, 18-year-olds. That's a horrible thought to have, how fast time moves. Any predictions for how spending might change going into the future?
I think that people are just becoming more savvy all the time. And I think when you go through something like, you know, COVID and the lockdowns, and people are starting their working life with those sorts of things, it makes them a bit more conscious of how they spend and save money, you know, making sure that they're putting it aside, because they actually have seen how you can be effective if you don't have money. So I think, in a way, this might, you know, be a defining moment for the next generation.
Right. Maybe we'll have a savvier savers going into the future.
I hope so. Or, you know, maybe
it was for their own good, really. No worries. Well, we might just leave it there. Julia, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks, Jordan. Nice talking to you.
That was Julia Newbold, Managing Editor with Money Magazine on your Classic Hits Breakfast.